WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, 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 yeah, it's about that time once again, folks. Good afternoon. Current Sports is alive and kicking on this Thursday, November 21st, 2013. So glad you have allowed me and the Current Sports crew to be a part of your Thursday afternoon. We have a great show in store for y'all. I mean, when don't we? And I'm sure many of you heard the news about Prince Fielder. Yes, Prince being traded from the Tigers. It's the talk of the town. And we want you to call in. Yes, you. I'm talking to you, whether you be at your work, go to the bathroom. If you're at work, go to the bathroom and call us real quick. It takes 2 seconds, all right? If you're at work, if you're just sitting back at home, folding clothes, doing laundry, watching TV and have me on. I mean, if wherever you're at listening to us right now, give us a call. Give us a ring, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Those who call in will automatically be entered in our drawing to possibly win two MSU football tickets to the last Spartan home football game of the season. Yes, against Minnesota on November 30th, just 9 days away. Again, give us a call. Give us your thoughts on Prince Fielder getting traded for Ian Kinsler. Is it the right move? 517-355-9527. We will also have former MSU and pro basketball player Andre Hudson. Yes, Andre will be joining me not too long from now on today's show. You don't want to miss that. If you got any questions for Andre, if you want to chime in and shoot him out a question about the MSU basketball team or his famed career. And I believe, look, we're kicking off the show already with a call. See, that's what I'm talking about, y'all. I love when you guys call in. We have Tom on line one. How you doing, Tom? Welcome to Current Sports.
Well, thank you. How you doing?
Very well, very well.
My thinking of this trade is mostly about money.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dombrowski was able to get rid of Fielder get rid of that gigantic contract that he was going to have to pay Fielder. So that's where I'm coming from.
I totally agree with you, Tom. I think, you know, you talk about Prince Fielder. I mean, the man was getting – let's go back to that nine-digit number, $214 million. That's a lot. That's
right.
A lot of moolah. Hey, Tom, thanks a lot for your call, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Yes, that is a lot of moolah. And, again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire show on what you think about the Prince Fielder, you know, trade for Ian Kinsler. And give us your thoughts. Again, Tom, he just called in, and he has just automatically been entered to possibly win two MSU football tickets to that last Spartan home football game of the season against Minnesota. Again, if you call in, you will automatically be entered. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Tom thinks it's about moolah, and I have to echo those sentiments to a certain degree. Definitely. We'll be discussing it later on the show. All right, Current Sports TV also comes on tonight. I want to give a huge thank you for all of you who came out last night to my taping with Todd T.J. Duggett. So tonight at 10 on WKAR-TV, it's Current Sports with Al Martin, WKAR's newest original TV series. My guest this week is former NFL and MSU running back T.J. Duggett. Duggett played at MSU from 1999 to 2001. And actually played in the NFL for Seattle, Detroit, Washington, and Atlanta. Today, T.J. Duggett heads up New World Flood, which is a service organization that works to help youth become change agents in their communities. That's Current Sports with Al Martin. Guest Todd T.J. Duggett tonight at 10 WKAR-TV. You don't want to miss it. I know a lot of shows come on Thursday night. I don't know, Thursday night is a hot night for TV shows. Many of my friends watch Scandal like it's, you know, it's the Bible. You know what I mean? It's every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Scandal comes on. They are glued to their televisions. But they at least DVR the show. All right, DVR the show and check it out if you got anything else going on at Thursdays at 10. All right, check it out. That's tonight, 10 p.m., WKAR-TV. All right, well, let's dive into today's show. Here are your current sports headliners on this November 21st, 2013. All right, Prince Fielder. The Texas Rangers acquired first baseman Prince Fielder and cash considerations from the Detroit Tigers for second baseman Ian Kinsler. Now, the Rangers confirmed that Wednesday night. The trade agreement was first reported by CBSSports.com. Tigers GM Dave Dombrowski called his counterpart in Texas, John Daniels, Tuesday morning and floated the idea of trading Fielder for Kinsler. Daniels said, quote, "Dave called yesterday and threw out the concept. We had little dialogue before on it. From there, David and I had a series of phone calls, and both sides were interested, and we got the money where both sides could live with it." Now, it was made official Wednesday evening. As part of the deal, the Tigers are sending $30 million to Texas to offset Fielder's costs. Senior baseball analyst Keith Law confirmed that. Now, Fielder had to approve the deal and did. The Fielder still has $168 million due to him. My goodness, this man is getting paid. $168 million due to him over the next season, next seven seasons. So Texas will pay him $138 million over that period. Now, Kinsler is guaranteed $62 million over the next four seasons, which includes a $5 million buyout on his 2018 club option. In total, Detroit will pay $92 million in the deal. This is a lot of figures I'm throwing at you, I know. Now, $62 million to Kinsler and $30 million to Texas for Fielder. How about that? That is a lot of moolah floating a lot of different places, Tom. I feel you, brother. I feel you, man. The Tigers were not among the teams on Kinsler's no-trade list. Fielder, who is 29 years old, he had .279 with 25 homers and 106 RBIs in 2013. His second season in Detroit, he gives the Rangers a power-hitting left-handed hitter for the middle of their lineup, something Daniels listed as the top priority heading into the offseason. We're going to dive into this conversation on whether or not this move was the right move for the Tigers, trading Prince Fielder for Ian Kinsler. We're going to discuss that later on in the hour. If you want to call in and comment, 517-355-9527. All right, MSU in Detroit last night. Brandi Agee, she scored a game-high 17 points and grabbed 11 rebounds as number 21 Michigan State defeated Detroit 80-41 on Tuesday night. Clarissa Bell added 16 points and Tori Jankowska 12 for the Spartans and marked the 14th straight victory over Detroit. The Titans have not defeated Michigan State since 1994 when current coach Autumn Rademacher scored 20 as a Titan sophomore. So Alicia Crosby was top scorer for the D with 13 points and Sinead Shearer added 9. The Titans never led but had tied twice in the early going until Agee and Bell each hit three-pointers as the Spartans broke away to lead by 20 at halftime. Agee also had three of Michigan State's eight block shots last night for MSU, folks, and scored well above her season average of 6 points per game. The Spartans out-rebounded Detroit 49-31. Annalise Pickrell, kind of the unsung hero last night, she had her lowest scoring night of the season with 8 points, but continued to do a little bit of everything to help the Spartans to the win. The senior captain had 7 rebounds, 3 offensive, and matched a career high with 3 blocks, all in the first half for MSU. Probably the quote of the night had to come from Susie Merchant saying, quote, "The way the game was going, it just felt like kind of watching wet paint dry in some ways, just because of them just packing the paint and it just felt like you couldn't get anything going." That's a pretty cool quote. That's from Susie Merchant. That's what she said afterwards last night. The Spartans conclude a stretch of 4 straight home games when they host Rice at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. It will be the second meeting between the programs. The Owls are coming off a 79-46 loss to nationally ranked Baylor on Monday. All right, MSU ticket allotment reduced. Fans hoping to attend the Big Ten Championship game could find it more difficult to purchase tickets through Michigan State. Now, speaking on Inside MSU Athletics with A.D. Marcalis this afternoon, this is reported from Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal. Associate Athletic Director Paul Shager said the school will have a ticket allotment of 10,000 if they reach the Big Ten Championship game at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis on December 7th. That's down from $15,000 allotment that MSU had when it reached the championship game in 2011. Shager said, quote, "This year it's a little bit different, probably based on what happened last year with ticket sales. The school allotment is reduced from 15,000 to 10,000, more in line with what the schools did last year and not what we did in 2011. Now, MSU sold its allotment of 15,000 15,000 tickets rather quickly when it reached its the inaugural Big Ten championship game in 2011. Shager noted the reduced allotment, which makes it more challenging for non-donors and season ticket holders to purchase tickets through the school. Now, Ticketmaster has tickets for sale starting at $57.75. MSU needs to win just one of its final two regular season games to secure a spot in the championship game. The Spartans can clinch with a win over Northwestern on Saturday, or if Minnesota loses at home to Wisconsin. So right now, if you want to get those tickets, they're starting at $57, folks, if you want to go to that championship game. All right, Darquez Dennard making news. Cornerback Darquez Dennard was announced as one of five finalists for the Bronco Narguski Award presented by the Charlotte Touchdown Club. Now, the award is considered the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy for defensive players, as it annually goes to the best on the defensive side of the football. There are four other finalists: Alabama linebacker C.J. Mosley, Florida State defensive back LaMarcus Joyner, Missouri defensive end Michael Sam, and Pittsburgh defensive tackle Aaron Donald. The Spartans have never had an active Narguski Award winner since its inception in 1993, but former Michigan State defensive lineman Bubba Smith was honored with the Narduski's retroactive, quote, Legends Award given out by the club. The NAR stats, well, let's list them. 38 tackles, 3 interceptions. They are a true, they really aren't a true impact of what this man can do on the football field. He is unbelievable. So there you have it. Darquez is one of the finalists for the Narduski Award. All right, Pistons and Hawks in action tonight. Well, last night, excuse me. It was a rough homecoming for former Atlanta Hawk Josh Smith. Yeah, the Georgia native who played for the Hawks his entire career before joining the Pistons saw his old team best his new one 93-85 at Phillips Arena. Paul Millsap, who the Hawks signed to more or less replace Smith's production, had a team-high 19 points to lead the Balanced Hawks, who had five players, yes, five players in double figures. Smith struggled from the field, shooting 5-for-15, finished with 11 points. The Pistons shot terrible, folks, overall, hitting just 40% of their field goals, anchored by a 1-for-9 effort by rookie Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Even in the loss, Smith was happy to get through his first game against his old squad. Also want to note that Maurice Cheeks, he was also ejected last night after Rodney Stuckey fouled out. Now, the Hawks pulled away with a big fourth quarter, one that saw Pistons coach Mo Cheeks, again, he was ejected with just over 2.5 minutes left. The Pistons and Hawks will play at the Palace again this Friday. All right, breaking news in this whole Jameis Winston story. The Jameis Winston case has taken another turn, folks. DNA testing has matched Winston to his accuser. Now, this is from Tim Jansen, which is Winston's attorney. He said, quote, "We are not surprised with the results of the DNA test. We voluntarily submitted to a DNA. The only thing we are surprised by is it was leaked out by law enforcement. The question the people should ask is, why is it being leaked and for what purpose?" Now, William Meigs, the state attorney for the Second Judicial Circuit Court in Tallahassee, is still reviewing information and is scheduled to meet with the accuser today. Winston's defense is likely going to hinge on whether the acts of December 7th, 2012 were consensual. Winston's status with the Seminoles remains unchanged for this week. He will play, okay, folks? And we're also going to discuss that later on. And what does this new revelation with this whole DNA testing results coming back about Winston, what does this do to his Heisman Trophy chances? We will be discussing that later on in the show. If you want to call in and give your opinion on that, 517-355-9527. All right, really quick, McNabb bullying claim, folks. Former Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb has denied claims from a former teammate that he was a bully. Sean Andrews, a former Eagles lineman, stated in an interview on Sync Weekly that McNabb, quote, "was degrading to me and spread rumors." And one of the rumors called into question Andrews' sexual orientation. McNabb went on to say, quote, "That is ridiculous. I don't know what comments you expect to get from me, but that is news to me and completely false. For me to bully anybody, that sounds unbelievable." Now, three former Eagles, including Brian Westbrook and Jeff Garcia, have corroborated with McNabb's version of events. So they're backing McNabb up on this. All right, Austin Hatch, this is probably one of the coolest stories I've read in quite a long time. Austin Hatch, a Michigan recruit who has survived two serious plane crashes. Not one, but two serious plane crashes that decimated his family. He signed his national letter of intent this week. In June of 2011, just 10 days after he verbally committed to play for the Wolverines, his father and stepmother were killed in a crash in, I can't pronounce this city, I think it's Charlie Vaux, Michigan. I didn't even know that existed, but that left him in a coma for roughly 8 weeks with a traumatic brain injury, a punctured lung, and fractured ribs. 8 years earlier, the Fort Wayne, Indiana native had lived through another, yes, another fatal plane crash, losing his mother this time, brother, and sister in that tragedy. Two plane crashes Austin was involved in. Now, Hatch was in a coma for 8 weeks after the 2011 crash and is slowly working his way back to the basketball court. Michigan and coach John Beilein intended to honor the scholarship offer made just before the crash happened, regardless of the contributions Hatch would be able to make on the court. This is a direct quote from Hatch. He says, quote, "Signing with the University of Michigan has been a goal of mine since I basically woke up from my coma. Last week, it was kind of surreal to actually see my name on that dotted line. I can't tell you how blessed I feel to be in that position." This is from John Beilein now. "It's exciting as can be that he's going to have this opportunity to play organized basketball again. We just have to see how this all develops. He makes us appreciate what we have a whole lot more because this young man is a terrific, terrific one to talk to speak with, to sort of put our lives in perspective sometimes." Austin Hatch, he survives two plane crashes, lost his mother, brother, sister. Unbelievable story. My jaw was on the floor when I read that story. Unbelievable stuff there. All right, well, those are your current sports headliners on this November 21st, 2013. If you want to call in and comment on any of those, give us a call. That's right, I'm talking to you right now. Give us a call. Give us a ring, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And today's current sports question of the day is, should the Tigers have let go Prince Fielder? What do you think about this trade for Ian Kinsler? Give us a call. Again, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's invite our guest for today's show. He played under Tom Izzo for the MSU men's basketball team from 1997 to 2001 and was a key component to winning that national title for MSU back in 2000. He was drafted by the Bucks in 2001, went on to have a pretty extensive basketball career overseas. Andre Hudson, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me here.
No problem. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Now, Andre, you played overseas. I want to ask you about the basketball culture over there where you played. I mean, compare it to that of the NBA and even that of college basketball here in the nation.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about, you know, are they hoops crazy over there as well?
They are. They're pretty intense about their basketball. The stadiums generally aren't as big as they are here in the States, so they don't have the bigger crowds per se. Soccer definitely is the number one sport over there, but they are big fanatics. I mean, a lot of those crazy soccer fans tend to follow the basketball clubs as well, and it gets pretty intense, man. I've experienced some crazy situations with fans interacting with players and throwing things at the referees. I mean, it gets pretty intense over there, but still, I mean, there's nothing that compares to college basketball or the NBA basketball league over here.
Right, exactly. So what's like the average crowd? What's the biggest crowd you ever played in front of overseas?
The largest crowd I've played in would have been 21,000. There's some arenas that hold 20-plus thousand. But I would say on average, I mean, there's 20 to 30 teams in each country that have their own leagues. And I would say on average, I mean, they can be anywhere from 2,000 to 10,000 seat stadiums, you know.
Right.
So there, I mean, it goes from a high school stadium to a mid-level college stadium type seating.
Now, Andre, talk about your journey to play overseas. Of course, you were drafted by the Bucks. Mm-hmm. What led to your initial decision to go and play overseas?
Well, initially, I got drafted to the Bucks. When I got drafted, they had a full roster at the time. The luxury tax thing was kind of being introduced, and I was told by the GM and the coach that it would be beneficial for me to go overseas for that first year. That way Milwaukee would retain my rights for the following year, and they guaranteed me money for the following year. So that's what I did. Went over to Italy, played my first year. Unfortunately, I got hurt that first year. Had a stress fracture in my leg, so I came back. Came back to Milwaukee that summer, did my surgery, did a lot of rehab in the fall once the season was starting, but I was still a ways away from being back to playing action. So at that point, they just released me. They, you know, they paid me the guaranteed money and kind of let me go on my way.
Right, right.
From there, I had some ups and downs, you know, through my career injury-wise, trying to make it into the NBA, not quite making it. Mm-hmm. And after about 3 or 4 years, I just kind of got settled in over there and decided I wanted to put all my efforts towards my career over here in Europe and try to make the best out of it.
Exactly. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Andre, you played in Greece,
mm-hmm.
Russia,
mm-hmm.
Turkey,
yep.
Italy.
Correct.
Out of all of those locations, mm-hmm. what had to be your favorite place to play and why?
Well, I would say Athens was probably the easiest place for me to play. Culturally, they're very diverse. The majority of the population speaks English, so it was very easy to adjust over there. I also played in Rome for 2 years, which was a great city, great historical things around the city, and just a beautiful place to be.
Mm-hmm.
My wife loved it. She did a lot of shopping and kind of forced me into early retirement. That was my last 2 years over there. But
right.
Another great city, Istanbul, Turkey, I played in, which is the largest city in Europe. It's actually the only city that's in two continents. It's mm-hmm. half the city's part of Europe, the other half is part of Asia, and it's a population of 15 million. People.
Wow.
And so, again, it was another pretty diverse city. I was fortunate to play in large cities.
Gotcha.
Which created a lot of diversity issues. And, it was good. It was a good time.
Definitely. I'm sure you had to miss home, though. I mean, being overseas and playing over there. I mean, how did you deal with that aspect of things? I'm sure that you probably came home in the off season and spent mm-hmm. majority of your time here, right, in the States.
Yeah. In the off season, I had about 3 months in the summer. I usually mm-hmm. get home end of May, June, July, August. I would have to spend at home. At that time, I resided in Columbus, Ohio. And so I would, I would take trips up here to state to play with the guys, and my wife is from this area as well.
Right.
But for the most part, yeah, I was over there for 9-10 months out the year. Every so often, some of the years we got a Christmas break, sometimes we didn't, and we get to come home for about a week or so. But I generally got quite a few plane tickets in my contract where I was able to fly family and friends over to visit me throughout the year. So it was. As I spent more time over there, I got more accustomed to living over there, and it wasn't as hard, per se, as to my first couple years being over there.
Right. Fun stuff, man. Well, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I am talking with Andre Hudson. Yes, former MSU basketball player and pro baller. Of course, he played many years overseas. All right, Andre, let's shift gears for a minute. I want to ask you about this year's MSU basketball team. Of mm-hmm. course, they're ranked number one in the country now officially for the first time since 2001.
Yeah.
How good can this team be, Andre?
This team has the potential to win it all, for sure. I mean, it's tricky. The NCAA is tricky. As we see every year, any team can be knocked out. It's a matter of one game. If you have a bad game, your chances of going home is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately for this group, we have a lot of experience. I think these guys understand what it takes to progress through a tournament-type setting. We have a great schedule, which is going to prepare us throughout the season, I think. We got a lot of hype for beating Kentucky, I heard a lot of people talk about how Kentucky is going to be so much better because they're so young. But I think the mm-hmm. same thing falls for us. We're going to be better, too. I mean, if you look at us year after year, we're always a much better team than we are at the beginning of the year. And so I think our future is bright. We have a good opportunity to go very far in the tournament. Right now we have a key component of winning the championship, which is good senior play. I think Keith Appling and Adrian Payne are playing great right now as seniors, and then we have a ton of underclassmen who have a boatload of potential. So mm-hmm. I think we have what it takes to win,
Andre, when you talk about, this team being ranked number one, so early, it's still mm-hmm. early in the season, being ranked number one so early,
mm-hmm.
you think that's kind of dangerous, or should they embrace it?
They should embrace it. It's something that doesn't happen very often. I mean, like you mentioned before, the last time we were ranked number one was my senior year.
Yeah.
And it was funny, man. We were top five starting off. I think we were 11-0 to the point where we lost. And we just got that number one ranking right before we lost. So I can't remember
man.
Who was ranked before us, but there was, they kind of held that position for a few weeks. And we were right there with them, winning game after game, won all our non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
And went into the Big Ten season. We actually lost to Indiana at the buzzer on the road. And, one thing that I realized is once, we were 11-0, we played some really tough teams, and we were winning. But once we got that number one ranking, I mean, the atmosphere changes when you go on the road. The fans want – I mean, everybody
talk about
wants –
that, yeah. Talk about that aspect of it, because I can just imagine. You got the you're the number one basketball team in the nation. Everybody wants to see this team. You probably got, you know, people taking pictures of you left and right. I mean, it's got to be crazy, right?
Well, we were we had a pretty good status. We just come off a national championship, so we had a lot of good talent, a lot of good people. But the thing about being number one is everybody wants to see number one go down, especially in basketball, because it changes so much throughout the season. Yeah. I mean, team could be number one for 1 week, and then next thing you know, they're losing. And the thing is, because the fans want to see it, the opposing teams get up because they want to be the team that beats the number one. I mean, they actually keep stats on your record against number one teams. And so it's a big deal. You know, it's a big deal to be the number one team. And I think that's what our team has to understand now. You know, we've played two good teams the past couple weeks, but I don't think we've played up to our ability or our level. And we have to understand that these teams are going to play at another level because we are ranked number one. And they want to be that one team who knocks off the number one team.
What's the mentality you got to have? I mean, for, you know, the players on this MSU basketball team this season, with that, you know, with that little number one next to Michigan State's name now, I mean, what's the type of mentality that you got to have each and every time you take that basketball court?
It's got to be a mentality that you're going to go out there and do what you know what to do. You know, when they came out and played against Kentucky, they were excited. Mm-hmm. They paid attention to detail. You know, everything, they were kind of focused in. Where after that game, I feel like they're kind of, they know they're good, and in a way you kind of feel like you can turn it on whenever you want to. I mean, that's kind of the situation that we get into as humans. You know, when you know you're good at something, you don't particularly give it your whole effort unless you really need to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where our guys are. I think that's where Izzo's trying to really push that across. Like, look, you need to bring your A game every game, because these opponents, they're coming to take you out. And if you take them lightly, if you give them confidence, you let them stick in the game, stick around, eventually something bad is going to happen. You're probably going to get knocked off. And so it's got to be a consistent mentality of you're going to go out there and do the job that you're asked to do.
There you go. That's as simple as that. Now, another aspect to this college basketball season that I find so intriguing, Andre, is the new hand-checking rule in the game. Yes. Right now, I mean, we've seen a few examples of it, even, you know, just with the season just starting in college basketball, where the whistles are pretty hot right now, and they're making it known that if you use your hands in any regard, they're blowing that whistle. What do you think of this new rule? Because me, I don't like it at all, but I want to hear your thoughts on it, Andre.
I'm not a big fan of it, to be honest. I think the NCAA is trying to find ways to, you know, cut out the physicality of the game, speed the game up, you know, more offense. Offense always sells in any sport. You know, fans love to see production. They don't like to see the slow, sluggish type of games. Unfortunately, there's leagues out there who are built off of that. I mean, Big Ten, if you look at our history, we're known as a physical league. We're a tough league. Mm-hmm. Michigan State is a tough team. And so, you know, we have to adjust to it. I do understand it. And there are ways of playing without putting your hand on the person. I mean, if you play good defense, you don't need to put your hand on the person. That's kind of how it is. But I think we've been playing this way for so long that kids are just – I mean, that's how we play basketball. I mean, you look at the NBA, you look at any other level – right. There's a physicality to that sport. And so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, NCAA is always going to make changes. Yeah. The thing about college referees, I mean, it's kind of my own opinion, but they like the limelight as well. There's some referees that are well-known in the NCAA arena. And you know, so I also think it's a chance for them to kind of shine a little bit.
It's a mix on that too,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it goes both ways. But not to take anything away from the officials either. I mean, the NCAA has some of the best officials in the world, and I do give them credit for that. But there are those that stand out to you know, viewers who watch college basketball quite frequently know, like, oh, here goes Valentine, you know, doing his dance down the court when he's calling a travel or whatever. But, it comes with the territory.
It definitely does. You know, I want to ask you, Andre, because this is something we've debated countless times on this show. Mm-hmm. When you I'm bringing the NBA in regards to this as well. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, do you think that basketball in general is becoming a little bit too soft over the years? Because I feel as though now, you know, if you look back at the 80s, you know, when you talk about the Bad Boys going against Michael Jordan, and, you know, those were battles. Those were physical battles. If you knock somebody on their butt when they come to the in the paint, they weren't calling the flagrant. You weren't getting ejected. It was a foul. You go to the line and shoot two free throws.
Yeah.
It's a different culture now. I want to get your thoughts on that. Is it becoming too soft?
It's a different culture. I think that's the best way to describe it. If you look back over the years, even if you look back in the 70s and the 80s, the players were built differently, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look now, players are really built up. The athletic abilities of these guys are 10 times what they used to be 20, 30 years ago. And so I think, you know, protecting the athletes is a big issue for a lot of the leagues. And NFL's big on, even on down through grade school, concussions now.
Right.
And I think injuries are playing a big part of what, you know, not just the athletes, but the owners. The owners don't want the players hurt. The fans don't want the players hurt. And so I think they're trying to figure out ways to combat all this physical athleticism that we're now seeing and keeping these players safe.
Do you agree with it?
No, I don't. I mean, I was always taught to play physical. I watched it growing up. This is how I learned how to play the game. From all the coaches I've been around, I've always had to, you know, playing physical, giving hard fouls. You know, it's just, it's part of the game. But at the same time, I do understand where they're coming from. So, I mean, for me, I would much rather see go back to the old ways, you know, play tough.
Yeah, man.
Play physical. Because, you know, really a lot of what comes down to sports is heart and grit and toughness. And I think in a way they're taking this away from some of these players. You know, they can't play their true way of playing the game.
I totally agree with you. I definitely echo everything you just said, Andre. All right, let's shift gears for a minute. You Conquest Health and Fitness at Eagle Eye. Mm-hmm. You are the owner of that. How did you get involved with that, Andre?
Well, I had a passion to get into business when I was playing overseas. I wanted to I knew it was something I wanted to do. Even as a little kid, I wanted to be a business owner. And so when I came back to East Lansing, my wife is from East Lansing. I made East Lansing my home. I wanted to find areas that I can help the community, but also make a living for myself. And I thought the health and wellness issue, especially in the state of Michigan, I mean, it's pretty bad here. And I thought this would be a way for me to make my footprint in this area outside of basketball.
Right,
right now, I've started this facility, Conquest Health and Fitness, but I do have plans to expand and to do more for this area and the state of Michigan when it comes to health and wellness needs. But for me, it was something new. You know, I knew the previous owner of the club before I bought the club, and he was a really good guy. I used to train there sometimes when I was in the off season, and he wanted to get out of it. So I did a little bit of research and did some digging around. I said, you know what? I've trained my whole life. I've lifted and ran, and you know, I eat pretty good. So
right.
This is something that might fit my needs. And it was an experience. It was definitely more work than I thought it was going to be going into it. Mm-hmm. But now that I've been in it for a year and a half, I've gotten really excited about it. I want to do more. I want to do more for our community. I want to do more for the state of Michigan. So I'm very happy to be in the place I am. I think it's a great facility here in the East Lansing area. Price-wise, we beat out any competition, you know, when it comes to what we have to offer. So I'm very excited about what we have over there.
Yeah, because you know what? I remember when I was still an intern, I was an intern at Channel 16 going there for the grand open. I don't know if you remember. I interviewed you before.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I was a little, you know, I was still wet behind the ears.
Yeah,
in this business, okay?
And you came a long way, man, in a short period of time.
It's been a roller coaster, Andre. But yeah, I remember interviewing you, and you had the big, extravagant grand opening of it. And I want to ask you, what renovations did you make in that period, in that time period, that, you know, kind of differentiated from other health facilities?
Well, the big thing I had, and I think you saw him when you were there, but I partnered up with a guy named Chris Johnson, who's a health and fitness guru around this area, well-respected, well-renowned, not just in this area, but around the country. He travels, you know, 200 days out the year. So he's implemented his program with Conquest, and I think it's been a big benefit to us. We did do some renovations in the building. Previously, it was called Eagle Eye Athletic Club.
Right.
And once I took it over, I did some remodeling with the locker rooms, added a group classroom for classes, and I brought on Chris Johnson and his team, who does the personal training, nutritional counseling, things of that nature. Also, I added massage therapy in there as well.
Nice.
And so we've upgraded the facility, but I'm also, like I said, I'm looking to expand now. I'm looking to do more and to provide more services for the community here. So I'm very excited about it.
For those out there listening, you know, like me, who eat fast food just about every other day, they want to get in shape, how can they get involved with Conquest?
Well, you can give us a call. Our phone number is 517-641-4348. We have special rates for students and MSU faculty. You can check us out on our website, www.conquesthealthandfitness.com. You can find us on Facebook, you know, Google us, whatever you want to do. If you Google us, you can take a visual tour of our facility and see what we have to offer inside. So really great place, pretty good location, just north side of East Lansing, pretty close to DeWitt, you know, Lansing area. So we cater to a lot of people out in the area.
Andre, before I let you go, you know, something, you know, when we're sitting back and just planning our, you know, today's show, My production assistant pointed this out, Matt, mm-hmm. who ushered you in just a minute ago.
Yeah.
He brought up the fact, and it just hit me when he said it.
Right.
Is your voice the voice on All Access? Is that your voice?
That's me, man. That's me.
How did that come about? Because I started dying. I went back and listened to some episodes. I'm like, that is Andre's voice. How did that come about?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, man. I've been around the program, and so I know some of the guys over there. They saw me playing. They know me pretty well. And I kind of just got a call from Louie John over there in the communications department. And he said, hey, man. Actually, he asked me to do the spring football episode last spring to do a trial and see if I liked it, if I was any good, if I can actually read.
Yeah, you got a smooth voice. I mean, you got like this Barry White kind of tone to your voice. And
but,
I like it.
But you also got to be able to read, read properly. So he was like, let me give you a test here. We'll do the spring football episode and see how that goes. And
right.
It actually went pretty well. I was excited to do it. And he said, I'd love to have you come and do the whole 2012, 13, or 13, 14 football season. I said, hey, that'd be awesome, man. And, you never know. It might lead up other opportunities out there. But I've gotten a lot of nice. Recognition, and people are stopping me and saying, hey, you did a good job on that voiceover. So it's pretty – I've never seen myself doing it, but I tell you what, life is crazy, man. You never know what's going to get thrown at you. And, I try to take advantage of every opportunity I get.
That is so the process with that. So do you see the footage they shoot and you just kind of – how does that work? Do you write your own script or
– No. They have great guys over there working. A guy named Ryan McPhail, he works over there in the communications department. He pretty much puts together the whole program. He does all the footage. Right. He goes to the practices. He does all the interviews. And he pretty much comes up with the script. And so he does a great job over there working on that program. They do great video shots. I mean, as you've probably seen the show. So
definitely.
They do a good job. And the interviews are great. Great human interest stories just about the players in general. And so for me, it kind of gives me an idea of what he's thinking as I'm reading the lines. He's saying, I plan on putting this shot here. Or, I was, one of the players was planning on saying this, and this will tie in good with that. So he kind of gives me some feedback, but I never really see the finished product until it airs.
So you basically just go in the booth and just do your thing.
Yeah, I just do my thing, man. They give me a script, they tell me to, highlight this and accent here, and
nice.
Once I see the final thing, I say, hey, that turned out pretty good.
That is so funny. Well, that's great. Well, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, and I appreciate it.
Thank you for being on it. We got to have you on here soon.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
As the season goes on, man. You're definitely welcome anytime, Andre.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yep.
All right, there you have it. Andre Hutson, former MSU and pro basketball player. He will definitely be on the show as as the weeks roll by and we get deeper and deeper into this MSU basketball season, folks. When we return to Current Sports, we're going to talk about the Tigers' decision to trade Prince Fielder in exchange for Ian Kinsler. Is it the right move? Give us a call, 517-355-9527, and share your thoughts on that. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, reggae music that goes beyond Bob Marley.
No, I've never been someone shy until I seen your eyes. Still, I had to try. Yeah.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Current State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight Current State weekday stories and explore mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to the diverse individuals that make Michigan's creative sector sing. It's Current State Weekend, Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on AM 870 WKAR.
It's there.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, we just finished talking with Andre Hutson. Yes, Andre, a member of that 2000 MSU men's basketball championship team, and also was drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks, played overseas for many, many seasons. He just joined me on the show. Matt, hats off to you, man, because you were the one who told me about and really opened my eyes to that that's his voice on All Access. That's funny stuff, isn't it? That's great stuff.
I mean, he sounds exactly how you would want.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Dramatic.
Right.
Low timbre of the voice.
It's like a Barry White kind of.
It's
like
perfect.
Morgan Freeman type of. Not Morgan Freeman. I would say more Barry White because I listen. I'm like, that's kind of like a Barry White tone. It's a great voice. Andre has a great voice.
I can't imagine anybody else doing it now that he's that he's taken it and ran with it.
So. Right, right. He's such a great guy. Again, he has Conquest Health and Fitness at Eagle Eye. He's the owner of Conquest over there. And he just told you how you can get involved with that. Great guest. All right, well, let's dive into this whole Prince Fielder trade. Of course, the Tigers traded Prince Fielder in exchange for Ian Kinsler. And you know what? This has been a talk of the town, folks. Tigers GM Dave Dombrowski called his counterpart in Texas, John Daniels, on Tuesday morning and floated the trade idea. And it was made official Wednesday evening. And as part of the deal, the Tigers are sending $30 million to Texas to offset Fielder's costs. Senior Keith Law confirmed that. Now, Fielder had to approve the deal, and he did. Fielder still has $168 million. Oh, that's a lot of moolah. Oh, my gosh. $168 million due to him over the next seven seasons. So Texas will pay him $138 million over that period. Now, Kinsler is guaranteed $62 million, which includes $62 million, which includes $5 million buyout. In total, Detroit will pay $92 million in that deal, $62 million to Kinsler and $30 million to Texas for Fielder. Oh man, there's a lot of moves being made. This is like a Breaking Bad or something, man. Some deals are being made here, man. Matt, what did you think of this move?
You know, I think it's a good one. And not just because it's not really about Kinsler, and he's not the player he was a few years ago. He's had a pretty sharp 2-year decline, but he's still, you know, an above average defensive player. That's something the Tigers need. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, every year they get in the playoffs. When you have a team that's built like the Tigers are, it's pitching and power hitting. And it seems like every year when we get to the playoffs, the power hitting fizzles out.
Exactly. And we saw that this season.
And I think Tigers management, probably sick of seeing that, probably sick of hearing about Prince Fielder's one extra base hit and zero RBIs in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You can't have that from a guy you're paying $200 million to. I think shipping him off before, you know, his deal really starts taking a toll,
mm-hmm.
because later in the deal, the amount of money that they were going to be paying him year to year,
it's ridiculous.
Was insane.
Ridiculous.
Anytime you're signing a guy to a decade-long contract.
Right, right. Come on, man.
It's a mistake.
$214 million?
For zero playoff RBIs.
Exactly. Zero playoff RBIs. I mean, he was hitting, I mean, let's see here. Combined batting average of 194 in eight playoff series. That's an excuse. If we're paying you $214 million, you got to give me more than
and,
that.
Yeah, and especially, and your job is basically to protect Cabrera in the lineup.
Right,
and
right.
You are an easy out.
Right.
I mean, exactly. that ruins the entire offensive strategy of the Tigers,
mm-hmm.
When you have two guys like that.
I'll tell you what, it was a great 1-2 combo in the regular season.
Right.
I mean, they were great in the regular
season. And even this year, he wasn't as good as he used to be,
right?
Or,
right.
You know, as he was in seasons past, and maybe that's just because he had the off the field stuff with his
yeah,
family,
with his wife,
or
getting a divorce,
you know, or
and
whether
all this
he was,
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he was just unhappy here.
Yeah.
Either way, he gets a fresh start in Texas. I'm sure he'll have a great season. The Tigers get to move on. They have some flexibility now. That contract was going to be an albatross on the franchise.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future, they somehow get out of it. They get a better than decent player in return in Kinsler.
Yeah, I think Kinsler would be a good, you know, and I think from many perspectives, you know, doing some reading on, you know, just trying to dissect this move, you know, possibly moving Cabrera off third base, you know, and making a switch there. I've heard that idea thrown out because Cabrera was not great at all at
right.
third base.
And you can move him to first now.
Move him to first now, exactly. You know, you just shake some things up as far as that goes. I think the infield defense will definitely improve with this move because it wasn't that great for the Tigers. That's something we also harped on talking about them throughout the season. And, yeah, you know, and going back to Tom, you know, this move financially was the right move for this ball club because you're overpaying Fielder. This move now creates a $76 million relief salary-wise for this team. That's a lot of moolah that you can do many things with.
A lot of moolah. Maybe, I don't know, sign Max Scherzer.
Exactly.
The guy who
that's what I'm looking for.
The guy who really you should be doing anything you can to keep. Because,
right.
I mean, obviously he's performed better than Fielder has.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the guy who they should be targeting to keep by just about any means necessary. And it looks like they're doing that. I mean, Fielder contract.
And Max says he wants to be. It seems as though he wants to be here, too.
Right.
You know, so.
I mean, he found an organization he likes, and they like him. And
right.
You know, he had obviously the best year of his career last year.
Unbelievable season, yeah.
The rotations, you know, that should be solid for the next 4 or 5 years. But the Fielder contract, it's a killer, and it's the worst going down the line. I mean, you look at 2018, mm-hmm. Before the trade, Tigers are $57 million. After at 44, 2019, $52 million to $34 million, 2020, $24 million to $6 million invested.
That's crazy.
In Fielder, it's
huge. Too much. It's not worth the investment. I mean, when you talk about the Tigers, they are at a level now where you expect they have a championship team. You expect a World Series now with this team, and when you got one of your highest payroll guys not performing when it matters. Something needs to change. Something needs to be shaken up here, and they let him go. They did the right thing, and I think it's the better move. I think, and you know, looking on the other side is, I think Texas. You know, I think Prince will get better as his career moves on. Now, I think it was a great move. It was a win-win for both parties.
Exactly.
Here.
I was just gonna say it's a win-win for both because the Rangers have, you know, one of the top prospects in baseball at second base, and getting Kinsler out of there kind of opens the door for him to step up.
Exactly.
And you know, when you look at the Tigers, if you move Cabrera over to first, and then Nick Castellanos can move back to third. I mean, he played outfield last year because they were a little bit worried about him defensively.
Right.
But
right.
I have more faith in a 21-year-old learning the hot corner than I do in Miguel Cabrera magically becoming a capable fielder.
It's not going to happen. I mean,
exactly.
Miguel was
that
dealing
ship
with injuries.
Has sailed.
That ship is gone.
Yeah.
Stick to batting. You know, stick to your at bats.
Exactly.
Miguel.
You are the greatest hitter
right.
in baseball.
Hitter.
Exactly.
All right?
So I think both teams went out. The Tigers get the flexibility that they needed because you know when you have this many stars, it's tough to juggle them and keep them a feasible payroll. This it helps them out a little bit. It loosens the strain of having, you know, a $214 million contract.
That's way too much. When I read those digits, you know, putting together this story, just doing some reading on the story, I'm sitting, my jaw's on the ground. Prince, you're one wealthy brother, man, no matter how you slice it.
And now he gets to go to Texas, and there's no state taxes.
No no state tax. He's going to go crazy. Dollar, bill.
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
A lot of money. All right, well, let's shift gears really quick, Matt. Jameis Winston case is taking another turn here. DNA testing has matched Winston to his accuser. So we know something was going on here. You know, we know they were having relations in some way, facet, or form here. And, you know, Tim Jansen, who's Winston's attorney, came out and said, we're not surprised with the results of the DNA test. He's just a little ticked off that it was leaked to the media. Now we have a hold of it. Now we're talking about it here on Current Sports. I tell you what, when you look at this and... The DNA doesn't lie. It's right there. It's evidence that, of course, he was messing around with the accuser. Whether he sexually assaulted her, we have no idea. We don't know that. I'm not trying to pin the man at all. But I want to bring up the discussion. Does this hurt his Heisman Trophy chances at all? And should it?
It certainly can't help them.
Right.
And that's tough. I mean, it's a tight race between him and a few other guys. But, I mean, you look at Johnny Football, mm-hmm. and people thought that Johnny Football's transgressions over the summer would kill his chances. So I don't see how this can't hamper Winston's.
Yeah.
Even if this is unsubstantiated and we don't know if it's actually true or not, just that shadow of a doubt,
there's that
seed of doubt. I think it's
yeah,
gone.
If it hinders Johnny's, you know, all the off the field antics that he had this past offseason, if it's going to hinder Johnny Football's consideration of winning the Heisman Trophy, I don't see why, you know, it shouldn't in Jameis Winston's case. But, you know, when looking at this, I don't want to pin the man guilty here. I mean, this happened well before You know, and this is another thing that I think we have to take into consideration with this. This is not a woman who is trying to, and this is an interesting aspect of this story. One of the officers confronted the accuser and said, I think you should rethink you possibly going after Jameis Winston because he's, you know, a big deal around here. He's a Heisman Trophy winner.
This is a football town.
This is a football town. You need to rethink this because this could possibly ruin your life. And that kind of made her back down a little bit and saying, okay, well, maybe I need to reevaluate things. But this incident that took place on December 7th, 2012, this occurred when we knew nothing about the type of player that Jameis Winston will be evolved into. This wasn't some gold-digging woman trying to just pin a rape case on somebody. This happened well before we knew Jameis Winston was going to be this phenom that he is.
But, I mean, he was a highly touted recruit.
But he's a recruit. But, I mean,
but everything these days is all about how many stars you get on your rival's profile.
Yeah, I guess, but at the same time, we didn't know that Jameis Winston was going to be a Heisman.
Exactly.
The superstar that he is. This is well before that. You know, I don't think this is just some woman crying rape and saying, okay, well, maybe I can get some recognition and maybe some moolah out of this. I don't think this is the case at all because it happened December 7, 2012. What I want to put in perspective for everyone listening out there is that Jameis Winston has not been he hasn't been convicted of anything. He hasn't been found to have sexually abused this young woman, and this hasn't blown up in his face in any regard. All we know is that he had a relation with this girl. So I don't want to pin anything. And as far as the Heisman Trophy is you know, as far as in that regard, he's done nothing wrong. He's been found guilty of nothing. So I don't think it should hinder in any regard his chances to win it this season. As of right now.
Right. And that's the thing. We just don't know at this point.
It's not enough out there. You know, and I was sitting there listening to different reports and, you know, people are like, oh, you know, well, his chances definitely deplete tremendously now, seeing as though this is coming out. I'm like, what has he done? You know, I mean, this is just a woman who says that she was sexually abused and DNA results and testing have come out that, you know, it says that Jameis did have relations with this woman. There's no evidence that he was involved with sexually abusing the accuser at all. He hasn't been found guilty of anything.
I mean, that's true. That's all well and good, but I don't know if that's enough to stop the voters from changing their views.
I'm just saying,
because that's still the top story on ESPN.com.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
without
he's still getting
he's
those
Jameis
headlines.
Winston.
Even if it's, you know, even if it's turns out not to be anything. And,
right.
And everything just kind of fades away. That's still part of the perception of Florida State, of Jameis Winston. That's still going to follow him around, definitely for this season, probably for the rest of his college career, and maybe even beyond that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think even though, you know, nothing is set in stone and nothing is definite at this point, I just think even just a little bit of doubt is enough to sway voters another way.
And that's what I hate about, you
it's,
know.
It's unfortunate, but
that's what I hate
at
the about
same
the
time, we don't know. We don't know enough to take a hard stance on this because it seems like every day it changes. I mean, it went, you know, before they were denying it even happened at all.
Exactly. And, you know,
then
in the
they were denying
you know,
it was
we have
him.
To remind our listeners that, you know, in the description of, you know, the accuser, you know, when she told the police what he looked like, she said he was under 6 feet or something like that.
5'10".
5'10".
And he's 6'4".
Of course, James, that's a huge difference. Jameis Winston is 6'4". You know, reading the story, I'm like, oh, this is nothing. This will blow over, and now we have DNA.
Right, when it first came out,
yeah,
I thought it was kind of like a smear campaign by somebody trying to ruin his Heisman
exactly,
chances.
Exactly.
And now it's sort of snowballing.
Right.
Nobody's happier than Richie Incognito, but it's all snowballing.
Right, I know, right?
And yeah. And now it's kind of, you know, it's a daily story.
It is. It is. I mean, and like I said, anytime you have DNA, you can't deny DNA. You got DNA linking him to this young woman. And you never know. I mean, he probably would just, you know, he probably would talking, you know, and, you know, doing whatever. And that's why the DNA is there. I don't know. We don't know enough here in this case to convict the man of anything. For those voting for the Heisman Trophy, if I'm a voter and I'm looking at this case, my vote right now is still for Jameis Winston because he's been unbelievable this season, had an unbelievable season so far. If he keeps it up, I think he will be the Heisman Trophy winner. And right now, if I'm a Heisman Trophy winner reading this story, he's still my guy because he hasn't been convicted of anything. This is America.
I mean, I get it, but the Heisman Trophy is the most prestigious. It's the most prestigious award in college football.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, we know that. But at the same time,
it's, you know.
So if you're a voter, man, so I'm asking you, if you're a voter right now, voting for the Heisman Trophy, does this change your mind?
I guess. I don't know. I don't even know who I would vote for at this point. I still think Johnny Football is the most exciting player.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In college football.
I think Jameis Winston right now.
Marcus Mariota, I think he lost his shot when they lost to Stanford.
Well, let's just say that Jameis Winston is your guy. You're sold on Jameis Winston, and this comes out. You're a voter. What do you think?
It's definitely a red flag. And if you're a Heisman voter, you take yourself very seriously. You do not want to be one of the people who voted, you know, a sex offender.
Yeah.
As the Heisman. I mean, they've taken enough flack for the Reggie Bush Heisman because of the, you know, impermissible benefits he got from USC. That's enough of a black mark on the Heisman, you know, aura, Heisman mystique, whatever it is. I don't know if those guys who vote for it would take the chance and put a guy who might have this big, you know, legal black cloud over his head and put him on that pedestal and award him the Heisman Trophy.
I just think my point right now, for those out there listening and you're looking at this story, you may be a voter listening right now. I have no idea. Earl Robinson was a voter for the Heisman Trophy. But if you're looking at this story, don't change your mind prematurely here. You know, this could blow over easily if it's found that, you know, as more evidence and we know more about this story. But for me, if I'm a voter, I'm like, you know.
But right now it kind of looks like it's going to become sort of a he said, she said.
Possibly. I think this needs
unless,
to go to court.
Unless the charges are dropped. Yeah.
Yeah, unless they're dropped. Yeah, we'll never know, I guess. But, you know, if it does go to, you know, to trial and we'll see what happens and the evidence comes out, you know, if he was involved with this,
If it goes to trial, he will not win the Heisman.
No, not at all. If it goes to trial, I don't think he will. I don't think it will. But I think if you know, over time, if the accuser decides to drop it, you know, like she said yesterday in the report that we had yesterday, if she decides to drop it, I mean, I think he may be your guy. But if it goes to trial, it throws a monkey in this whole discussion. I really think it does, because you never know what could happen. The trial lasts Lord knows how long. You know what I mean? The season probably be over and the trial still be going on. But we'll see. We'll see as time goes on, man. So we were going to get some – man, time flies on this show. We were going to get to MSU basketball. Of course, they have VA Tech, I believe, tomorrow night in BK, Brooklyn. You ever been to New York, Matt?
I have not.
I have not either. We were going to play you some bites from
Let's go. Let's just go to the Barclays Center.
We should just do it right now. Just
come
go
on
to Barclays Center.
Jay-Z. Although Jay-Z's not a part owner of the Nets anymore.
No, he's not. He's not. Which
breaks
is
my heart.
Yeah,
now he's an agent.
Yeah, and Aaron says that and Aaron's brother lives in Brooklyn.
Oh, man, so we got a place to stay.
Yeah, we got a place to stay. We'll go there and just
check
out. Thank you, Aaron. There you go. He just gave us a thumbs up there. So there you have it. So tomorrow we actually will be talking some MSU soccer. We have Damon Rensing coming on the show. Of course, they play the first game of the NCAA tournament this Sunday. Do not want to miss that. I will be out there covering that. And he will be on the show to talk about the game and to talk about the excitement of the tournament. So Damon will be here at the top of the hour on the show. And, of course, catch Current Sports TV tonight as I sit down with – I didn't get to ask him about this cane, though, because he didn't bring his cane out. And, you know, it's pretty cool because Todd is actually – he's a new father, 8 weeks. He just had a boy. And, you know, it's funny. I was sitting there chatting with him about it. And he says, man, now this is a different ball game. Now I have a son now. And, you know, he was telling me how, you know, how he tries to relate everything to football. And now he you know how you go to the line and you do your checks, like, okay, what formation are they in? You know, you just do your checks at the line. Well, now it's kind of like whenever he approaches his son now, he has to do checks, like, okay, why is he crying? Let's see. Is his diaper wet? I don't know. Okay. Has he ate yet? You know what I mean? He goes through all these checks. It's hilarious stuff. But you can check out that episode tonight. We had a great crowd last night. Check it out tonight on WKAR-TV at 10 p.m. Todd was a really, really good guest. And he even talks about why athletes go broke and talks about the lifestyle that he used to live in the NFL.
Uh-oh. I'm sure that's changed now that he's had a baby.
Oh, yeah. It's totally
changed
now.
I mean, Todd, just don't fumble.
Right.
When you're,
you can't fumble. Right.
That's a pretty valuable ball you've got there in your arms. Do not fumble under any circumstances.
Do not. That'll be horrific. That'll be horrific, man. All right. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Andre Hudson for joining me today. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Again, catch my sit down with Todd TJ Duckett tonight on WKAR TV at 10 p.m. You don't want to miss this episode. He was a great guest. And also, you get to see some highlights from Lansing Sexton and their playoff run and MSU basketball, MSU women's and men. It's a jam-packed show tonight at 10 p.m., folks. Take care. Have a fantastic day. And be easy, people.